بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تسيد اشعار وبعارف بالله حضرت ابتس حضرت مانا شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرقدہ ان ٹائٹل از میرا کوئی نہیں آہ تیرے سوا میرا کوئی نہیں آہ تیرے سوا اے خدا میرا کوئی نہیں آہ تیرے سوا اے خدا زندگی میری ہے تیرا ذکر و لقا زندگی میری ہے تیرا ذکر و لقا تجھ سے ہوں میں جدا اور میری موت ہے تجھ سے ہوں میں جدا میرا کوئی نہیں آہ تیرے سوا اے خدا تیرے بن کیوں اندھیرا ہوا تیرے بن کیوں اندھیرا ہوا قمر کیا ہوا میری دنیا کا شمس و قمر کیا ہوا بحر طوفان غم ہے مخالف ہوا بحر طوفان غم مخالف ہوا میری کشتی کا ہے تو ہی بس نا خدا میری کشتی کا ہے تو ہی بس نا خدا تیری رحمت کا خدا خورشید روشن ہوا تیری رحمت کا خورشید روشن ہوا ہر سزا سے بری ہو گیا نہ سزا ہر سزا بری ہو گیا نہ سزا میرا کوئی نہیں آہ تیرے سوا اے خدا تیرے دریائے رحمت کا ہے آسرا تیرے دریائے رحمت کا ہے آسرا ورنہ خود
میرے کوئی نہیں آہ کے ریسیو میرے کوئی نہیں آہ کے ریسیو اے خدا اے خدا اے خدا اے خدا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. ما بعد. Friends, this beautiful poem entitled Tawadada Shaykh Hasrat Arif Billah Rumiya Zamana Tabriz Dora Shah Hazrat Muhammad Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali entitled Mera Koi Nahi Ah Tere Siwa. Taking aside that ah and how many times we've learned here in the majlis that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so forgiving, so merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us to come to Him. And this ah, this deep sigh that a person takes when he's thinking, when he's pondering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached it to His name. Allah. That's how many times our Dada Shaykh taught us the small children playing when they have a fight with one another. And he says, I'm going to call my Abba. And we've got our Rabba. Allah has attached the near this ah, this deep sigh, this longing, this yearning. Allah has attached it to His name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, has made us His followers. Allah, it is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, otherwise from our side is absolutely nothing. Ma asabaka min hasanatin famin Allah. Whatever it is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the iman that Allah has blessed us with is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, what could we have been doing for the so-called a festive season? What if we were not guided by our ulama, but by our shuyukh? And what would we have been doing, going to see all these Christmas lights and the fireworks and all these things? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with hidayat and keep us steadfast. So Hazrat rahmatullah in this deep love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person who is so in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he writes poetry and when he writes his poems, then what can a person like me be bereft of this quality? Not yet, I don't even understand what it is. How am I going to translate and try to elaborate on this thing? But a literal translation, just because we know a little bit of Urdu, we'll try and do to the best of our ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me with ikhlas. And may me say such things which are first of all beneficial to me and then to everybody else. So that Allah rahmatullah has entitled this poem, Mera koi nahi ah, tere siwa, O Allah, besides you I've got absolutely nobody. In this world when everything seems to be going haywire, chaos. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding this ummah, time will come when other nations will sit around you like people around a plate of food, inviting one another to partake thereof. And Sahaba asked, will we be in a minority? And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, in fact, in those times, you will be in a majority, your numbers will be swelling, but one will come into you. And one, love of dunya and fear for maut. How Sahaba kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in looks forward to maut. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and that's also the blessings of this majlis, that we read a little bit of kitab at home. Otherwise, what we knew what was to read kitab at home. Little bit, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, how she longed for maut, that now I'm going to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, one was coming to us, the love of dunya, fear for maut, always just wanting more and more and more. Now we see what is the condition of the ummah. We find ourselves in such a plight, at such a point in time, that we don't know which way to turn. We don't know what to do. We don't know. Then Hazrat Wallah is saying that, oh Allah, beside you there is nobody. There is nobody beside you that we can turn to. Mera koi nahi. Ah, there is you are. Ey Khuda, Ey Khuda, Ey Khuda, Ey Khuda. I'm only calling upon you, oh Allah. Only you, that you solve our matters. And it is so easy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Hadith al-Qudsi, that if all of you have to come onto one plane, all the malaika, jinnat, insan, all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have to give you whatever you desire, even much more than that from my side, it won't deplete from my treasures to the extent of a needle being dipped in the ocean. And not even that much. So Allah is waiting for us to come to Him. A person who will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attaibu min adham kamalla adambala. A person who has erred. And we are insan, we are made, our nature is that we make mistakes, And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it, that we earth and we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes tawbah and repents and makes a istighfar. Now our ulama are telling us, our mashayikh are telling us, elders are telling us, we should make istighfar and tawbah in the plural, with a plural word. Instead of astaghfirullah, we should say nastaghfirullah on behalf of the entire ummah. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what conditions we're finding ourselves in different parts of the world, what is happening everywhere we see, we are the point. We are being made that morsel of food that they just want to gobble up, they just want to eat up. Now at this point in time, we're coming back to you, O Allah. Ya Allah, O Khuda, eh Khuda, eh Khuda, O Allah, O Allah, O Allah, please now have mercy upon us. Now turn towards us. We accept our mistakes, we accept that we have heard, we accept that we have done wrong, we accept that we haven't fulfilled our responsibility, O Allah. But besides you, where else can we go? As we learned in this majlis of that person who went for Hajj so many years, and every year he would hear that your Hajj is not accepted, your Labbaik is not accepted. And his Khadim also used to hear this sound, and he used to hear this voice, and he asked him, Hazrat, when your Hajj is not accepted, then why are you coming every year? And he replied, that if I don't come, then where else can I go? Which other door is there for me to go to? So now a person is calling upon Allah, that whatever, Allah, whatever the condition is, no matter how I prayed, we have heard so many incidents now in the Karbuzari, but when the person came, made a little bit effort, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened doors, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala welcomes the person back, that you have come back to me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for them. So Allah, besides you, there is nobody for me. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. Further in the next couple of verses, Allah rahmatullah alayhi says, Zindagi meri hai, tera zikro liqa, aur meri maut hai, tujhse hu main juda. That, oh Allah, there is only bliss and contentment in my life when I am obedient to you, when I remember you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly in Quran Sharif, Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Definitely in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is contentment of heart. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the greatest wealth that a person can achieve, can acquire, is contentment. As we have learned in this majlis, a person may be a multi-millionaire, may be having everything, but his problems are in the millions. And a person is a pauper, and his problem is of 10 rand. Proportionately, the problem is the same. That person's got it in a huge number, and this person's got it in a small number, but the problem is the same. And both are losing their sleep. Come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless a person with. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless a person with contentment. And this contentment, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is the greatest wealth that a person can achieve. Or meri maut hai tujhse hu main juda. And oh Allah, to be far from you, to disobey you. This is actually my death. One is a physical death, when a person loses his life and now you have taken him, given him ghusl, red kafan, given him kafan, red janaza, and buried him. But one is a spiritual death. The spiritual life is that I should be in your obedience. And spiritual death is that, oh Allah, and that is why the dua, Allahumma arhamna bi tarkil ma'asi abadam ma'arqaytana. Oh Allah, have mercy upon me, that I stay away from your disobedience until I am alive. Allah, don't take me from this world until the time that you are not happy with me. When you are happy with us, then Allah take us from this world. So the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is spiritual death. Comes so clearly in the hadith that house in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not remembered, or that person who doesn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kal baytil kharib, it's like a deserted house, it's like a haunted house. It's like a desert, a place of desolateness, a place of solitude, a place of where a person feels scared. So this, when a person goes into disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is actually spiritual death. My life is that I should remember you. I will prosper and I will succeed in remembrance of you, O Allah, and in your obedience. And to disobey you, this is actually my spiritual death. Tere bin kyu andhera andhera hua. Meri dunya ka shamso qamar kya hua. That, oh Allah, without you, in your disobedience, what happened? It seemed like I had everything. It seemed like everything was going for me. One incident comes to mind of Junaid Jamshed, that he said that when I was doing all this and I was singing and everything, and I had the mic in my hand, and I had thousands of fans, and everything was happening all the time, people. But I had that fear in my heart. When the stage used to be erected and constructed for my shows, Then I used to make it a law that nobody can come within 3 meters of the stage. I used to be scared of people. That outwardly the lights and the glamour and the show and the pomp and glory, outwardly it seemed, but I didn't have that contentment of heart. Said when it came to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I still had the mic in my hand. And I still had such great audiences. And everybody still thronged to come and look for me. How beautifully, I think it was Mawlana Imran Qazi Sahib in Hyderabad one time, I was listening, he said, when a person sacrifices for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُطِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never then let the effort of a person go in vain. A person is trying to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam sacrificed Iraq, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with Makkah Sharif. Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam sacrificed being a baby in the desert, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with Zamzam. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam sacrificed Egypt, then where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in Ard al-Muqaddas. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed Makkah Sharif, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with Medina Sharif, and then gave him the conquest of Makkah, where Allah returned Makkah Sharif under his control. So when a person will sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never, ever, ever let that effort go in vain. So here the Rasulullah rahmatullahi alayhi saying that, oh Allah, that without you, in your disobedience, what happened? All this light and glamour, although it was lit in front of me and it seemed like everything, I had everything at my disposal, but there was darkness in my life. There was that fear, there was there was no contentment in the heart. I didn't find any solace anywhere. What happened to the sun and the moon of my world? That I felt that my success was in business, and I felt that my success was in politics, and I felt that my success was here, and I felt that my success was there, but everything seemed just as if load shedding. Somebody just put the switch off, and now there's no light. Now the freezer is not working, and the fridge is not working, and the aircon is not working, and the fans are not working. It just seemed like everything went dumb all of a sudden. But oh Allah, when I made that connection with you, when I came back to you, then how everything just came back to life again. Allah bless us with understanding me first of all. Thereafter, Azharullah rahmatullah alayhi says, behre tufan hai ghal hai mukhalifawa, meri kashti ka hai tu hi bas na khuda. That oh Allah, everything seems to be going wrong. Now I lost my job, now the wife is sick, now the child broke his leg, now whatever the case may be, I had a motor car accident, and this problem came upon me. End of the month came, I couldn't pay my rental. Alham, this worry that totally melts the person. Alhamdulillah, Ali Qadir rahmatullah alayhi is written, and we learn in this majlis so many times, come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, read those wazayif, stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that ham, alladhi yudibul insan, that ham, that worry, that discontentment, fear of the heart, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it. Such worries that totally melt a person, that a person doesn't know which way to turn. Then, oh Allah, you are the captain of my ship. You, Allah, you take me out of the storm, and you bring me towards you, and you make it that you be pleased with me, and you select me, make me from amongst those with whom you are happy. Further, Azharullah rahmatullah alayhi says, Teri rahmat ka khurshid, roshan hua, har saza se bari ho gaya na saza. That, oh Allah, now the canopy of your rahmat, the canopy of your, the tent or the sheet of your mercy has now spread over me. Now everything seems just to be going right. Majariya qada, that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That great wali we learn about, that he was going for his Eid Salah and somebody threw ash from the top. Then he read, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. After that said, Alhamdulillah. So the khuddam who were with him, saying Alhamdulillah, that's a great musibah. Somebody threw ash from you on top of you. He said, yes, I'm saying first of all, I read Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, that this is a problem. A problem befell me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those that problems come upon them. Follow Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. They say to Allah we belong, to Allah is our return. This problem came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows best. We are content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I said, Alhamdulillah, that my condition is such that this is only ash, fire supposed to have rained down upon me. So I'm praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. Then the majariya qada, that everything, all decisions come from there. Whatever transpires in a person's life, whatever happens, like we just mentioned a few of the worldly problems now, I can't pay rent, now this one is sick, now I've got to go to the doctor, now this child needs kitab for madrasa, just whatever the case may be, all these problems together, whatever, it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we will make our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accordingly and proportionately decisions will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the plight of this ummah will be solved. Then everything will go right again. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala and majma'in, all the superpowers of that time against them. But how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with honor. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them rank and control of this world. How Allah promises in Quran Sharif, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself that those who have iman, they will do good actions. Allah will give them the control of not of the universe, of the system of the universe. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is giving khutbah in Medina Sharif. The army is engaged in battle hundreds and thousands of miles away. And he says, Ya Sariya al-Jabal. That, oh Sariya, look at the mountain, look at the imminent attack from the back, which you are on my. And Sariya radiallahu ta'ala, there he hears the voice of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. How Allah gave the control of the system of the universe to the Muslims, to the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala, when they came to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it happen. Similarly, we will come back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala is going to take the keys of Baitul Muqaddas and he addresses great Sahabi and he says that Allah has blessed us with honor and respect in the deen of Islam. وَمَحْمَا نَتْلُهُ الْعِلْمِ. And ever, and this is for all time, not only for then, it is a principle till the day of Qiyamah. That whenever we are going to look for honor and respect and dignity in fi ghayri al-Islam, in anything besides the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, besides the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put us into the control of others. So our responsibility is that, and that youngster, when the ocean had thrown up so many starfish that all come onto the shore, he took one by one and he started throwing them back into the ocean. So one elderly person came to him and said, oh little boy, so when are you going to carry on doing this? There are thousands and millions of starfish here. What difference does it make? He took another fish and he threw it into the ocean, said it made a difference to this one. So our object is, our responsibility is that we should come, I should come right. And then the rest, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it fall into place. So, Teri Rahmat Ka Khurshid Roshan Wa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when your mercy descended upon us, when you showed mercy towards us, then every problem, I got saved from every problem, and everything seemed just to have gone right. Now that load shedding, the electricity came back. Now everything is working. Now the fridge is working, the freezer is working, the fans are working, the aircon is working, and we are all in comfort. So Allah, when your mercy came down, then everything just went right. Tere darja ya rahmat ka hai asra, warna akhtar hai a'mal se benawa. That, oh Allah, I only seek your pleasure. Tere rahmat ka, I'm only asra, that longing, that desire, that burning flame in the heart. That, oh Allah, I ask for your mercy. Show your mercy. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it comes upon a person, then there are only two occasions where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war. One is when a person gets involved in usury, and one is when a person troubles a wali, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes upon a person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a person beloved to him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summons Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So Jibreel, I love certain person, who is the son of certain person, you should also love him. Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes into the other heavens and conveys this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all the other malaika. And that love of that person is transferred into their heart. And when they come into this world with all their responsibilities, then that love from them is transferred into the heart of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for your mercy, I'm asking for your closeness. Otherwise, if you look at my a'mal, Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi alayhi, what a great love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using his own name, but sabak for us, sabak for me, that I should realize that my a'mal, what can I present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah commanded me to read salah, I broke the leg of the salah. I didn't sit in the tahiyat properly, I didn't concentrate properly, I didn't, the salah is such a great worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that also I didn't fulfill properly. Look at my fasting in the month of Ramadan, how I'm fasting my time. They also said, Allah rahmatullah alayhi, said so beautifully, he said, now in Ramadan we have to fast time. But that person who's fasting time, he didn't fast time, he's failing time. And then when it came to my zakat or whatever the case may be, how I did it for show that everybody should come to know that I did this, I built a masjid here and I ran a madrasa there and I looked after this student and I did that and I dug a well and whatever the case may be. So what are our amal? Oh Allah, I'm only asking for your mercy. If it comes to amal, then you know, I'm strange to it. I don't know what is good amal. I try my best, but the rest is in your hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with understanding. I first put myself first of all, thereafter everybody else.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله المولانا العظيم. One sunnat which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, make muzakara of one sunnat before every bayan. And sunnats are really our life wire. May Allah put it in our heart that we have love for each and every sunnat. We learn every sunnat also, and we make it, try and cherish it, that we learn all the time one new sunnat. And as many of us may be feeling that, alhamdulillah, I practice on all the sunnat. But if we really go and see, there are so many other sunnats which we are not aware of also. Just for example, if we have to ask you now that the dua after drinking water, what is the sunnat dua? All will know. What is it? Hasban furatam bi rahmati. Now, each one of us ask myself, till today, did I ever read it after I drank water? Right? There may be a few, mashallah, but generally, who of us really read that dua? So, it isn't just for knowing. Knowing or learning the sunnat, Allah loves learning deen. Knowledge of deen is very, very beloved to Allah Ta'ala. And one branch of learning deen is the sunnat. And if we learn the sunnat, Allah loves that person also. Then of course, after loving the sunnat, after learning them, to love every sunnat. Even if we cannot practice every sunnat, but to love that sunnat. And then, to propagate the sunnat. To as many people as we can, we try and propagate the sunnat. So Allah make it, and especially in these times, when not only people are neglectful of sunnat, there are those people in the name of Islam and being Muslims, they propagate anti-sunnat. Everything which is against sunnat, they propagate it. Non-Muslims do it. And as our ulama have outlined and explained to us, that every sunnat they try and find another thing in its place. Whatever is sunnat, they find the opposite. And they try and make death come in the ummah. They have realized that the success of this ummah is in sunnat. So to break that, they have replaced it in almost everything with something else. And we unfortunately very simple, gullible people, we just opt for that. And we just go into that lifestyle. And we all go for those things which are against the sunnah. And then which brings destruction to us. Because everything against sunnah, there is darkness in it. There is misguidance in it. It leads bid'at. The opposite of sunnah is bid'ah, a new thing. Okay? And that is, the place of that finally is Jahannam. Sunnah leads to Jannah. And bid'ah, all new things which replace the sunnah, all those things lead to Jahannam. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bless us with the love of sunnah. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh, may Allah fill their qabr with noor and elevate their status every single moment and split moment. These people sacrificed their life, and what great lessons they have taught us. Maulana had stated so beautifully, sunnat ka tariqa ashal tariqa hai. The way of sunnat is the most easiest way. This also, nafs is that it has made that what is very easy and simple doesn't appeal to us. What is cheap, in fact free, doesn't appeal to us. What is expensive and you have to pay for, which is like sophisticated and which is difficult to understand and comprehend, that appeals to us. But all sunnat and solutions to our life, wallah, are those simple solutions. But unfortunately that doesn't appeal to us. And what is opposite to it, what is difficult to understand, all terminology that is used, everything that is presented, made very expensive, like in the form of seminars and all those things appeal to us, and there is nothing in there. So sunnat ka tariqa, ashal tariqa hai, is the most easiest way. Sunnat ka tariqa, ajmal tariqa hai, is the most beautiful way. If you want to do anything beautifully, what more beautiful way can there be than the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And in all these matters, really, it is just from which side we are looking at it. If we're looking at from a dunya's point of view, then sunnah won't appeal. Keeping a beard from a dunya's point of view, topi, kurta, etc., all those things won't appeal. But if you look at it from the deen's point of view, what Allah wants from us, what is going to be beneficial for us for our eternal, everlasting life of the akhirah, then this will appeal to us. Immediately it will appeal to us. So all our matters, we should not look at it from a dunya's point, what will please the people. How is our life in this dunya going to go peacefully, nicely? We should look at it from the actual reality which we do know, and which everyone knows, that to have a peaceful life, sunnah tariqah for example, is to have a simple life. Your house is also simple, your car is also simple, everything of yours is simple. That makes it so easy life. And that is loved by Allah and loved by His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Opposite to that, to have a life filled with all extra things, things that we don't even ever use, which we don't look at it also. We buy it, we saw it, it appealed to us, we brought it home, and perhaps we hardly even ever looked for it. We forgot we even bought it. All those things. House must be made like a show house all the time. Every moment, day and night, it must be like a show house. And the details, which you people even know more, how many workers are kept to keep that house spotless. So much so, one place, that the grouting between the tiles, one maid, a worker is kept just to clean that grouting. That all, everywhere, all the time, the other maids have to do all other work. One is kept only for that. So all this type of life. And then the car, the housing, everything. How difficult is that life? In that life, you don't have a moment also to spare for your ibadat. Forget. And if a person does make ibadat, his thoughts are also in all those other. So sunnat ka tariqa, ajmal tariqa hai. The most beautiful way. The way which Allah loves. The way on the day of Qiyamah we will see what the great, great returns and rewards of that life are. Sunnat ka tariqa, akmal tariqa hai. Is the most perfect way of life. For which Allah, it is narrated, that لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْخَلْقِ. Had it not been for you, O Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I should have not even created the creation. So the creation is created for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, مَنْ أَحْيَى سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحْيَانِ. A person who makes my sunnah alive has made me. So the purpose of this life is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So that is the most perfect way of life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it dawn upon us, realize it, that how much we can go more towards sunnah, and there is only goodness for us. And the solution to our problems, in fact, we should work, and our deen has been given to us in that way, that we don't really have to worry of the solutions also. Our deen is given us in that way that it prevents us from the problems. So no solutions also. If the problem is not there, then what solution? But the way of the enemies of Islam, those which are opposite to Islam, they make the problem and now they work whole life on the solution. And the wrong solution. Not even the right solution. And like we say, the minute you get involved with all these people, one way you just involved with them. And there is no solution to it. And Islam's way is the preventative way. That you don't allow the problem to come. And that is also sunnah. Wallah, a person who will try and stick to sunnah, he will be saved from the problems coming also. And perchance if he must, he did something wrong and a problem did come, sunnah is the solution again. But today we, in the name of Islam and Muslims, we are looking at it in the wrong way. Allah give us tawfiq to understand the great value of sunnah. One sunnah, which is very, very important, also it seems so simple that we won't even take notice, we won't even remember it, is the sunnah of miswak, really. What a great sunnah that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, like almost all the time with miswak, get up in the morning, miswak. Before going to toilet, making miswak. And then after that in wuzu, again miswak. Before going to sleep, miswak. Leaving the house, miswak. Coming into the house with miswak. All the time with miswak. So Allah's Nabi, if we have any idea of who Allah's Nabi, Ba'da Khuda, Tuhi Buzur, Qisra Mukhtasar. After Allah, the greatest position of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam giving so much of importance and emphasizing the miswak, and see what our practice is. Miswak is that namaz that is made, and miswak was made before that, that namaz is 70 times more valuable. Not 70 times, more than 70. And there is no limit to the value of that. When Allah's Nabi said, أَفْضَلُ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً, more better than 70 times, only Allah alone knows. We all will be making Zuhr inshallah. Those of us who had made miswak for the Zuhr, and then again look at every sunnah. Some brothers have come from far, and some are not from so far, but a person who makes his wudu at home and comes for namaz, it is like a person who put on his ihram at home and going for hajj. So much of sawab. How much can't we gain every day, if not today, but at home when we go to the masjid, we make our wudu at home. And we will save ourselves from so many problems. When we go to the wudu khana, there is noise, normally, unfortunately, there is worldly talk that takes place. Without us wanting to, we get involved in those talks. Just somebody, in a nice way, if salam is there, alhamdulillah, otherwise, how are you? And from that, how are you? Where it leads a person to. So if we make, we come straight to the masjid. And then a person who made miswak, that namaz of his will be 70 times more valuable. When we have completed our wudu and we tried and do it, and this is very easily possible at home, according to sunnah, the proper, then and we read the dua, which is after the wudu, the 8 doors of Jannat open for that person. Imagine this great virtue. For one, it has been given to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, that the 8 doors of Jannat will call out for him to enter from there. One is for that wife, that when she passes away, husband was happy with her. For her also, all the 8 doors of Jannat are open. And wudu, which we take as a small thing, we don't pay attention. And may Allah forgive us all, how many of us are wudu, is just a slapdash thing. And then, sometimes even the faraiz of wuzu are not completed. Commonly, which ulama point out, the elbow joint, sometimes we don't wash it properly. The ankle at the back, sometimes we don't wash it properly. So faraiz are left out in our wuzu. And wuzu, which is praised in the hadith, is a complete and perfect wuzu. And alal makari, when it was difficult. On a cold day, you didn't have hot water. But still you made your wudu and you didn't just rush through the wudu. Didn't just do the farais of wudu. But you did your wudu properly. What great reward. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of all this. So the sunnah of miswak is a very great. So the sunnah of miswak, it will also remind a person the kalima is shahadat at the time of mort. And what can be greater? Today all of us, we consider we are more worried of our dunya's life. But the real life is the akhirah. How many of us really consider how my mort will come? How my qabr will be like? What will be my condition on the day of qiyamah? Those are the things which are more important than our dunya's matters. But unfortunately, we give much more total importance to this dunya's life compared to the life of the akhirah. And sunnat, as-siwak, sunnat, is purification of the mouth. And this has not been said by some great orthodontist or anyone else who knows this. It has been said by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whose words can be more truer than the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for a mu'min who has got iman on Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who has got value for the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then not only that it purifies the mouth, it is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Allah becomes pleased with that person who makes miswak. So anyway, may Allah give us the knowledge of all the sunnah, the love of every sunnah, to practice upon it and to propagate it also in the world. May Allah give us all tawfiq. And all this also we should try and listen to it with the niyyah. When we are listening to any talk of deen, we are reading a kitab also, anything. Or then I pointed out four things if we keep in mind. One is to listen. How many of us, we are there, students in a class also, we come to bayans, we attend, but we are planning all the time. We are not listening to the bayan. We have got all other plans in our mind. We are working out things in detail in our mind. Or we are taking a little nap also perhaps, and not involuntarily, but like intentionally. Maulana Ahmad Laad Sahib, Damat Barakatum, explained one time that in a bayan, if you make your sitting posture like that of what he said, a bus stop. That is, the legs are folded, your hands are folded, and your head is down. So there at the bus stop, the bus that is doing its round, it has to stop there. Whether there is a passenger coming on or getting off doesn't matter, but the bus has to stop there. So once we have made a bus stop of sleep, then sleep has to come there. It will sleep, it will take it, make a stop there. Whether it is for a few seconds, a few minutes, or perhaps sometimes only when the bayan is complete, then our eyes open up. Otherwise the whole bayan we were sleeping through. And as some ulama say, some students also, they do their whole alim course sleeping through the course. At the end they get that certificate, they studied the exam time and they managed to get a pass, but the whole course they passed it in a sleeping way. And we might laugh at them, but we, all our bayans perhaps also are like that. So anyway, that we listen to the bayan. And we make that intention that I am going to listen. And our minds are present. Then secondly is to memorize, to make mahfuz, to maintain that in us. Almost all of us, we ask, what was in the bayan? And we go home, if the wife has to ask, what bayan was there today? Then we don't know. We forgot. We try to remember, but we can't remember because we weren't listening to remember in the first place. And really, for a student, for us also, the amount of alhamdulillah till today in what times we are living, but there are still so many bayans. Almost every masjid Jummah has got a bayan. Every masjid has got gush bayan takes place. Bayan after that takes place. So many places, all, how many bayan? Other ulama programs are organized regularly for different venues. But if we just listen properly to those, we would have gained so much of knowledge also. So then to maintain it, to make it mahfuz, to keep it within us. The third, of course, which is the most important, is practice. If we didn't listen, and we did not want to make it mahfuz and keep it, then how are we going to practice? And then the fourth thing is to propagate it, to give it to other people. So Allah give us tawfiq now also, that we make this niyat, that we are going to be listening. And then we are going to try and to maintain it, make it mahfuz, keep it within us. And then we will practice upon it also, and we will propagate it to other people also. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, and Allah give another very important thing, which is a little bit separate, but tonight has mentioned it, that the person who is speaking also, he also has to make these in niyyah. Otherwise, like sometimes you ask the speaker that point you told about that, and he also has forgotten. He prepared his bayan and that, but he himself, which point you talking about? With regard to that, one very, very important thing for our Islam and the condition of the Ummah, which we are all lamenting, and which all we have to feel very sad about, what the condition generally of the Ummah is. One of the causes the ulama write is that almost everyone in every field, whether it's the ulama, whether it's the jamaat, whether it is the khanqa, anyone, we are all, wherever we sit and talk, what's happening here, what's happening there, what's happening there, which is common, but what's happening here, that nobody speaks about. And until we don't make the niyat of correcting myself, and then moving on, no results can come. We can be worried of the whole ummah, and we cry also the whole night to Allah, which is meritorious, virtuous, very good, which is matloob, required and maqsood, but changes are difficult to come. Like for example, we hear there's a place where there are droughts, no water, people haven't got water. I heard about it, I got worried also, poor people haven't got water. And I'm a person, I got a horse and trailer, big trucks I got. Immediately I jump in my truck, and I start driving to the place. But I didn't put water in my horse and trailer. When I reached there with an empty truck, and I got the concern, I'm worried about them. But when I got there, what am I going to offer them? I speak about namaz, for example. But I haven't got namaz in me. Now what am I going to deliver? If I got namaz in me, now I can deliver namaz. If I have got all the correct qualities in me, now I can deliver. And just having the correct qualities and just sitting with them is also not enough. We have to have them, and it is our faraz that we worry about the ummah. Hamdardi, worry about the ummah. We have to worry about that. In India, for example, what's happening in Kashmir, it's like a forgotten thing, and the poor people of Kashmir are like forgotten. For the rest of the Muslims of the world, perhaps. Babri Masjid issue came, we hardly were aware that the court case is going to come. We are not concerned. And the decision was made, unfortunately, that it is for the site of a temple, a masjid. And Babur, this great king who built this masjid, what a great man he was, and what the service of deen. And today, after centuries, now that masjid is gone as a temple. But what has it turned in us? In our breakfast, did it make that we give up our little extra cheese, which is not necessary for us? To give up our extra little honey which we have in the breakfast, no difference to us. We just carried on. Perhaps just a light cursory remark here or there or something. But really, but if my house went, Allah's house went, didn't mean anything. And where it's not only gone, it's gone for a temple. It's gone for idol worship. It's gone to the enemies of Islam. But what effect has it got on me? And then, now the issue in UP, all the whole issue at the moment, and what terrible condition, but how much does it affect us? I ask myself, each one, did I make one dua for them? If we tell the most today what dua, make dua. Yes, I make. You also make dua. But actually, the dua, who of us are making dua? Who took the name of Babri Masjid and made dua? Who took the name of the Kashmiri Muslims of the UP situation? And if we did make dua, how much dua did we make? Just now and then, casually. So Allah Ta'ala make it that I be concerned of myself first. I must fill myself. If I am empty, what am I going to deliver? So Allah, and if we have that concern for ourselves, now we got concern for the ummah, inshallah there will be some result. And both are necessary. Not only to be worried of the ummah and not of ourselves. And not just that we worried of ourselves and we don't worry of the ummah. Both things are absolutely essential. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we worry and we correct, just to try and correct. And also, yeah, shaitan will also say that you one person, what can you do? But one person is the starting point of the change of the whole history of the world. The geography of the world, the history of the world. One, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the history of the world changed. And all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the great, great awliya, one person, starts with one little mission. And he carries on and he changes the whole course of history. So don't think that one person can't do anything. Everything starts with that one person. And whom Allah Ta'ala, and who has got this within him, Allah Ta'ala will make him the means of change. One, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, who was so concerned of the condition of the Muslims when the British wanted to make the whole of India into Christians. And they are very subtle effect. And this is also one quality of these people, that they recognize this, the problems which the others cannot. The British came, they made the dunya's life very comfortable. Now the tar roads came, schools came, all the things of the dunya. Many people were happy with all those things. But these are those people who saw through all this, that what are they targeting? And then they made all the efforts which they could do. They fought against the British also. And finally that concern of it, which came to that level, that now dua was left to him. And dua at the Kaaba Sharif. And when he made this dua, those duas changed the condition of India. And that India was including Pakistan, including Bangladesh, the greater India. And till today, Islam is strongly alive there. Had it not been for that, today India could have been another Spain, where the biggest masjid in Spain, Masjid de Cordoba, where there are so many today churches in the one masjid. Different churches are in the one masjid, where today, at one time it was, you couldn't enter with a topi. And also, while we are speaking of the topi, alhamdulillah, we all wear topi. But just make this niyat that it is a sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's a great shi'ar of Islam. And just 24 hours, perhaps the topi is on the head. Some of us sleep with the topi also. Some of us might take it off. But the topi is a great, great, great ibadah to wear. And if we make that niyat, just keeping the topi on the head, we are getting so much sawab. And at the same time then, when today our condition has come that we don't want to wear topi even for namaz. Even namaz time, we don't want to wear the topi. At such a time to wear the topi, what great reward isn't there for that. So anyway, this India would have become another Spain, where we wouldn't be able to have been able to practice Islam. Yeah, again, in my little understanding, Allah knows what is the right and the correct thing. But one man changed this whole cause that we have got India with so many Muslims today. And that was Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah Ali. At the time of the partition of India and Pakistan in 1947, almost all our great ulama also were thinking of making hijrat and going away to Pakistan. Because the conditions, we cannot ever think what difficult conditions they were at that time. What is happening in Syria now, what is happening in India now, this also is still nothing compared to what the conditions were at that time. Anyway, at that time, Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah Ali, like with no support of anyone, he announced and he was determined, I will stay here in India. We also have to leave, what will happen to our masjids? What will happen to our madrasas? What will happen to our qabristans? And who are not there? When he made that determination, great, great ulama changed their mind also. We are also staying here. And when they all stayed, today, as we have got India with so many Muslims, Muslims are there. And otherwise, Islam, India should have become another Spain. So anyway, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand that any one person, and these were great ulama, Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rah, but in the annals of Islam, the whole Khilafat-e-Usmani, the Ottoman Empire, this was whole built on one person who wasn't an alim. He was like an ordinary person. But the qualities that he had on that, the whole Khilafat-e-Usmani, which ruled the Muslim world for how many centuries, right from the east to the west. This was all one person. So don't think I can't make a change. Everyone can make a change. And we are determined, and Allah Ta'ala, the doer is Allah. We can't do anything. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيمُ وَيَشْتَبِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Whoever will just turn to Allah, Allah Ta'ala will make determination. Anyway, today what we want to talk about is that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Allah is the one who made this nafs of ours. This desires of the nafs and our nafs which is there, and how balanced Allah has made it also. And the nafs inclines towards this dunya. It wants the enjoyment of this dunya. It looks for immediate results now. And it wants to have the enjoyment of this dunya. Together with this nafs, Allah, there is another enemy of ours, shaitan. These are our two enemies. And the bigger enemy of this is the nafs. Shaitan is a minor enemy. We can curse shaitan, and we curse him also, but in public and private, we befriend him again. We listen to him. We do what he tells us to do. Our nafs is our enemy. And one muraqabah which we can do, that we think that what has my nafs done for me? It couldn't come into existence by itself. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah is the one who made this nafs also. And Allah made it all balanced also. So it is, and shaitan, what can shaitan do for me? What has shaitan done for me in any way of goodness? Nothing whatsoever. They have not created us. They don't maintain and sustain us. They did not give us our eyes, our brains or anything. Nothing is in their control also. And the akhirat also, what are they going to do for us? On the other hand is Allah Ar-Rahman. He is the one who has created us also. He is the one who gives us everything, who gave us our eyes, who gave us our brains, our tongue, our food, to digest the food. All this Allah Ta'ala gave us. And for any and all our food, we can never ever pay for it. We are never paying for even one grain of rice. When we are paying 25 rand or whatever price for a kilo of rice or for a liter of petrol or for anything, we are paying the people who have worked for it. We are not paying for the actual commodity. Those people who are working, they have to be remunerated. They are paid for it. We are paying for the people who have built the roads to bring it to us. We are paying for the people who are working on the computers, all the work and that. The actual thing, one drop of water, nobody can pay. One grain of rice, nobody can pay for it. And even this, that all the people who are working and bringing it to us, if we try and work it out to have 1 kilo of rice from Pakistan, from wherever else in the world, and I buy it at 25 rand or whatever price I'm paying, it can never, it is subsidized. Allah has subsidized it, and Allah has subsidized it to such an extent that it is now within our means that we can have it. But, and for the original product itself, we can never pay. We are just paying all the people who have worked in order to facilitate it and bring it towards us. But the actual thing, and the only pay that we have, that we can pay and we have to pay, is we make shukr to Allah, and that shukr also, that Ya Allah, I can't make your shukr. When we say that and we feel that, Allah says, now you have paid for it. Now you have that which was unpayable for. Now you have paid for it when you realize I could never make shukr of this ni'mat. Oh Allah, and you have given it to me بِغَيْرِ حَوْلِ مِنِّي وَلَا قُوَّةٍ, with no effort from my side. We might have worked and paid for the people who worked to bring it to us. But to pay for that commodity, nothing we can pay whatsoever. You take a simple example to understand that. I got a fruit tree in my yard. MashaAllah, it has borne very good fruit this year, a lot of fruit, good quality. I want to give it now away also, share it with other people. Now I need somebody to go and pick the fruit, which is a job on its own again, and I'll have to pay for those people. And then after that, I'll have to pack it, whether it's in small packets, in small boxes. After that, I'll have to go and deliver it. All that, and people will thank me for it, but that fruit itself, I did not make it, and nobody can make it. So, and then when we eat it also, it is only by the, that our hands can work. What a great ni'mat. That our jaws can move. If we haven't got teeth in our mouth, if we got a toothache, we got problems with our teeth, we got a sore, one blister in the mouth. Now that wonderful mango is there, I want to eat it, but that blister in such a way, I can't eat it. If there is something wrong in my throat, I can't digest it. So many things, only Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, this nafs which Allah has made, so Allah has put this nafs there, and we have to recognize that it is there, and the demand of the nafs is this dunya's things, enjoyment of dunya, and the demand of the nafs, halal or haram, doubtful or pure and clean, but the nafs just wants the things of this dunya all the time. And shaitan stimulates it also all the time. The inspirations of shaitan, and as we know that no other shaitan came to mislead shaitan. Where did shaitan go astray? It was his nafs that made him go astray. If there was no other shaitan, it was his nafs that made him go astray. So our nafs is the main. And in fact, ulama have written that those people who are slaves of their nafs, shaitan doesn't even worry of misguiding them. They are more than enough misguided. They are slaves of their nafs. And if we really analyze it, whether it's me, if I admit to myself, all, we are really slaves of the nafs. Shaitan doesn't waste his time with us also. Nafs is enough to mislead us. So this nafs is a great, great. And then now Allah Ta'ala gives the solution. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And Allah has put in it the fujur also. And Allah mentioned the fujur, the evil, the temptations, the desire of doing wrong, whichever form it might be. MashaAllah, one alim has written a very nice article on the robbers of time, our robbers, robbers of time. Which are the robbers of our time? And there are so many robbers. Today we worried of security. Our house must be secured, our businesses must be secured. But the our security, that our time must not be robbed. That we hardly think about. And time is that commodity which you cannot get back. A single static second that has gone and it went in the wrong way, it can never be brought back again. So amongst the robbers of time is sports. All the soccer, some places football is a very big thing. And how much of time is spent on it, watching it. Those who go to the games, those who watch it on the phone, on the media, etc., the discussions that take place, and people who may be thousands of miles away from where their team is, and that they are picking the team. That this player must be there, this player is, he should be there, and who is listening to them? But time is just going one way, how it robs us of our time. And when the results come, this team won, that team lost, etc. Again, how much of tapsira and how much of the review of the whole match. And we Muslims, our youth, and not the youth, old people, grown-up people, grandfathers, we are all involved in all this. And it's just destroying us. Cricket, all these things, rugby, whatever other, how much of sports. And then another thing is weather, discussing the weather. So just that it's very hot today. It's very cold today. It's not going to change anything. And who doesn't know it's very hot today? Who doesn't know very heavy rains today? And this one breath, ulama who have understood reality, pious, awliya, one word they wouldn't say. When they want to say something also, is it of benefit? Or can I rather say subhanallah in this time? Is there going to be any benefit in this? Otherwise, how much political observations? Hey, that this in this country, this person, this minister has done this one has done that, this decision has been made, and we got no say, and nobody is going to listen to us also. And we don't make any dua for anything also, just wasting our time, gossiping, backbiting, on the cell phone, all the time. And time is such a great that Allah has taken an oath of time, wal asr, wal fajr, and many other places also. Time is a very, very valuable thing, but we are just—it's just going away, running down the storm water, going with all the filth and dirt. Our time is just being wasted. How much of our time? May Allah may end with the time in Akhirat when we will realize a person will literally bite his fingers till his wrist, right till his elbow for all the time that he wasted. There in Jannah it comes, a person will have a passing sorrow that the time that he did not make the dhikr of Allah. One subhanallah fills the place from the ground to the heaven. And in that time we wasted all that time. One tilawat of Quran says, those buzurgs, mashallah, we have seen those buzurgs, that till the very last moment, whatever they are busy with, they will carry on with their tilawat. Till the last moment, like they are traveling, for example. Now the place is near. So normally we will say, you close your Quran, you put it up. But they will till the last moment. They won't waste that one more word that you read. What rewards there are in there. But we are planning well, so we just stop everything before time. One tasbih that we read, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, may Allah make it that the value of this. So anyway, Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. One person asked Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, that I've got a gambling habit. How can I come out of it? In one little sentence, which today we feel needs a lot of counseling, and all that counseling in the wrong line also, Hazrat said, Allah has given you the power to stay away from it, stay away from it. That is all. Allah has not made us responsible for things which are beyond our power. Whatever it can be, today, lot of counseling, lot of therapy, lot of medication, lot of rehabs, lot of all this, and the amount of money, and the amount of counseling, and the amount of time. In Islam, it is one thing. You have the ability to stay away from it, stay away from it. Whatever it is, all our harms, and today, as we are sitting, we also must be thinking that all these things are necessary. How can you just stay away? You need it. But clearly it is. And our great, great buzurgs who know the depths of things, they have said, you have the ability, you just stay away from it. And Allah did not give us any command which is beyond us. So whatever haram, Allah has put it there, and to stay away from it, kaful hawa, to stay away from that desire, Allah has put it in us. It is for us to use it. If we are himmatur, which our buzurg say, we have got it, but we don't want to use it. Then we will go through all the long process with all that money and time spent, and we will come worse than what we were before. Which today the rehabs themselves say that we have got no success rate. They say very minimal, but in fact no success rate. But this is that a person who will understand this. So anyway, Allah has put this, وَنَفْسِهُ وَمَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That person who has purified the soul. And this is an effort that we have to work to purify our nafs, which we call today generally the khanqa effort. Or we call it that our tablighi effort, or islahi nafs, or Allah give me hidayat, Allah change my life. It is all the same thing that we now come and we turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And for that, alhamdulillah, next month, just as a small little effort in this direction, we are having our Islahi Jalsa again on the 12th, 13th and 14th of next month, Islamic month, Jamadul Ukhra, 7, 8 and 9. Of February. So over the 3 days, all this will be discussed by various ulama. And we don't have to be connected with one khanqa silsila, with whichever. And alhamdulillah, make shukr that in our country we have got great, great mashayikh who our heart takes to. We listen to our Juma bayan. We listen to other bayan. We enjoy certain people's bayan. But who we feel that this person will connect me to Allah, that my islah will be done, make a connection. And when you make that connection, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will open your doors. And with this few things that we have mentioned, we make that effort and we will see that definitely a change will come. So there are two main things in here. One is to purify the heart. Once the heart is purified, for that zikr is necessary, purification of the heart. For that to hear talks of this nature and to listen to them, to try and comprehend and take them within ourselves, then this change will definitely come into a person. And once the heart is pure and clean, we don't even have to ask Allah to come in that heart. In any pure, clean heart, Allah Himself comes in that heart. Then the next part of this, the starting part of this whole process, which we call the Khanqa Islahi process, is to cleanse the heart. Then when Allah comes in the heart, now ta'alluq with Allah. Now you have your connection with Allah Ta'ala. And then see the great enjoyment a person gets. We take for example, husband and wife are married, they've got everything of the best. But there is no love between them. For whatever reason along the line, there was no love from the beginning. And usually what love marriages are called, those marriages got no love. All that love is done before the marriage. And immediately after the marriage, then the fighting starts. Then immediately the woman demanding for divorce, the husband just wants to, there's no other solution for talaq now. But before marriage they did. So they, and an arranged marriage, which is arranged by the parents, by arranged marriage, love starts with marriage. And then it grows all the time. And then that marriage that has got love in it, feeling for one another, we cannot imagine what enjoyment there is in there. They might be poor, they might not have anything. Like that our deen. One is that deen, which is today our modern type of deen. Deen that we organize, that suits us. And from that we see, people say that I don't enjoy my namaz, my heart is not in my namaz. And one is that deen which came through the channels from Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the sahaba, the great awliya, the ulama, and came from that line, that deen will give us that enjoyment. And then when you make your namaz, just your Allahu Akbar, what enjoyment. Just to acknowledge that all this, in the morning you get up, you walk to the toilet, and automatically you think, Ya Allah, you gave me this ability. If I was paralyzed, if I was bedridden, I couldn't even walk to the toilet. For this basic deed, I was dependent on somebody. And it's not easy. Who is going to really serve you in these days all the time? It can be the person who really loves you also, but he also at that time he can't be there. That you walk to the toilet, that you manage to sit down and relieve yourself, that your urine came out if you went to urinate. Hey, ask a person who had a prostate problem and how his night had passed. So everything, you'll have no choice but just to make shukr to Allah for all His namas. And the du'as are like, what a Nabi Allah gave. When we woke up, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. When we entered the toilet, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuth wal-khaba'ith. When we came out, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah alladhi azhaba anni al-adha wa'afani. What a dua, if that reality, if our urine didn't come out, it was blocked, stones, and we couldn't. Instead of the urine, the pain that a person suffers at that time. If we were constipated, and one doctor says the first signs of cancer is when your bowel movement is not right anymore. You can detect from there, for already your cancer. If our bowel movements are not, and that we relieved ourselves, what a great ni'mat. Everything, Allahumma bihamdika sarraf, wa bidhambi ataraf. Oh Allah, my walking around is only by Your fadl. And I admit my gunas. I am such that tafadhal alayna bi fununil alam. Shower Your blessings in all the ways, every possible way. Ma'a istihqaqina bi afaninil iqab. Though actually we are deserving of the worst punishment. If a person realizes this, Allah becomes happy with that person. So anyway, to bring this reality into us, we will be having this Islahi Jalsa. Many talks will be given. We can listen or live streaming, etc. But what we will get if we are present, and also what we will get if we encourage others to bring. Instead of clubbing our five friends together, all five take out their own cards and try and get four other people ready. And come with four other people, the five can make 25. Or 20 people they can bring. And in this way, whatever good they will do, where they will reach one of them also. We can't reach there, our sawab is in there also. Allah Ta'ala gives, and there is no limit to the giving of Allah Ta'ala. Allah give us all tawfiq, make me, all of us understand this great one department of deen, of tazkiyah nafs. And that we apply ourselves to it, and we apply it to ourselves, and that we bring it within us, and see the great, great benefits of it. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshaAllah. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.